You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Heading down the home stretch of our NFL previews, and we're doing two today. Green Bay this hour, we're doing the Chargers next hour. The Packers on the clock on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Rachel Hoppmeyer is joining us. NBC 26 covers the Packers. How are you, Rachel?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Tony.
Absolutely. So we all got the offseason drama. We all were following that pretty closely. Now that he had arrived in camp and we had a summer camp, what's the drama level like now?
It's honestly, I can't believe that I'm the only one, you know, that's refreshing Rodgers' Instagram stories. He's kind of taken to posting in a very reminiscent way of Tom Brady. You know how Tom's always, you know, shouting out his teammates, posting the photographer's pictures every day, you know, complimenting people. Rodgers has really started to use social media in that way. He definitely wasn't as warm and fuzzy about it beforehand. So otherwise, you know, physically, Rodgers hasn't missed a beat. He's very much on point. Even though he admitted he wasn't throwing as much this offseason, it doesn't look that way. It doesn't feel that way. But afterwards, I mean, he gets on Instagram and shouts out his buddies, especially like Mercedes, Tonyan, MBS, Cobb, obviously now that they're back. I mean, those moments are definitely being more cherished now.
In terms of the feeling in Green Bay, because, you know, I always ask this to locals who really are more closer to the story, but there were a lot of people nationally that were like just automatically speculating that he would be traded without seeing the numbers. How close did people in Green Bay and the surrounding area felt like he might not be the quarterback in 2021?
It definitely wasn't fans thinking that they were close to a trade scenario, just knowing the Packers and how they operate. Fans here never felt that that was a possibility. But as we got closer to camp and, you know, you saw that 24-hour decision window really take shape, fans were definitely convinced he wasn't coming to camp. But, you know, it was almost a drunk conversation around here. You know, oh, do you think Rodgers is showing up? Do you not? It became so casual at that point because it was so hurtful for the diehards to really go through.
So last year they get to the NFC title game, they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a lot of times you go, well, all right, what pieces are we missing? What do we need to do to get past the hump? Maybe we need to do nothing at all, just make sure we get to this game next year. What did the Packers have to do this offseason? What did they improve on from a 13-3 season?
They definitely, you know, tried to keep their core because they believe they have what it takes. Everybody who's spoken, and even, you know, you think of Preston Smith, Kevin King, guys who didn't have great NFC championships or let alone last year, you know, they financially suffered. They had restructured contracts in order to come back. Kevin King said, hey, I wasn't expecting the Brinks truck. And obviously we know he unfortunately did have a bad NFC championship performance. But as long as they were willing to come back, they had to replace key guys that left, like Corey Lindsley. We're going to see an incredible rookie, Josh Myers, likely take that starting position. So it's a lot of keeping together what they think they have because their offense was that elite caliber. Defensively, they've got Joe Berrien to provide a new scheme, and they really think that that was just the final piece to bring it over the hump.
It is one thing to sort of look back and say, okay, look, we, you know, the team ended up losing to Tom Brady and a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, but that team had some struggles. That team had to go on the road. That was a home game for Green Bay. How much did that sting to have a 13-3 season? And even though you lose to the eventual Super Bowl champs, to let that one slip away?
Oh, for sure. And then you think about it, it's back-to-back years that they got to that position and were just stunned.
Right.
So I do think that was hurtful to not only many egos, but to the front office as well. You know, the effort that they really put in to be shrewd and spend their money wisely and to get walled like that back-to-back years in a row when so many people on this team are eventually going to age themselves out sooner than later was definitely a burn.
So give us a little look at the 2021 offense. Obviously, we kind of know what Aaron Rodgers is doing. What about Aaron Jones in the backfield? Davante Adams, all of those things. What does a Packer offense look like for 2021?
I definitely think the Packers offense is going to be just slightly more invested in the pass game this year than last year, based on the fact that they really are emphasizing in this running back room without Jamal Williams now. The emphasis on pass catching. You've seen A.J. Dillon catch passes from Rodgers. It wasn't something he really did at Boston College, but they're emphasizing this sense of versatility. And with Kylan Hill coming right up behind him, I mean, he's already had 2 rushing touchdowns in preseason. It's pretty dynamic what they're trying to mold this running back room into. So you have that on top of all the other pass catchers that Rodgers already had available to him. Tonyan is growing. MVS's confidence has gone way up this offseason after a lot of crap he kind of faced for being inconsistent last year. Randall Cobb is back, which fans, you know, want to see probably every touchdown come from that duo if they could have it their way. You know, I really think they're setting themselves up to have beautiful end zone time.
What's the projection for Randall Cobb and how he'll fit into this offense?
So it's definitely interesting because Randall Cobb comes back after they draft Amari Rodgers. And you think about, they're the same guy. They're both supposed to take those slot reps. Then you take the personal connection of Randall Cobb is Amari Rodgers' mentor. He's known him for so much of his life because Randall Cobb's coach in college, T. Martin, is Amari Rodgers' dad. So this really comes full circle. It's such an interesting situation, but they say that they're happy to be sharing this moment together, you know, put emotions aside. And Matt LaFleur swears that they're going to draft up different play calls that requires different things out of each of them. But the reality is, Randall Cobb's presence does diminish Amari Rodgers' presence on the field in his rookie year. And that's, again, just the reality.
You brought up Robert Tonyan. In terms of tight ends, how is it utilized in the Packer offense? He had a fantastic season.
Yeah, he really did have a fantastic season. And I think with DeGuara coming back from injury, you know, it lets him play a bit more freely. Their tight ends coach, Justin Outen, is very much imaginative when it comes to what tight ends can do on the field. I mean, he constantly says, the only thing that limits us is our imagination. They are totally willing to move tight ends around wherever. And having two tight ends on the field does allow for Joe Barry then to also, you know, think up some things as well. They've really been showing each other different looks in practice. But Tonyan, again, I really think with more depth in that room, we'll be able to play a lot more freely and run around.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Mike Pettine is out. Here comes Joe Barry. What is they expecting? A change? Is it supposed to be just another different type of voice to what they already have? What is that change going to look like?
There's two big things to know when it comes to Joe Barry and the Packers this year. Number one, he's a player's coach. Every single guy that has taken the podium goes on and on and on about Joe Barry's energy. I mean, it warms the room, truthfully. Their smiles about how much they love to play for Joe Barry, about how much he fires them up. He tackled the air once, trying to show them a different way to tackle. He is consistently getting in with drills, sprinting with all types of guys on the field. He is definitely here to keep these guys motivated every day, and they love getting that energy out of him. The second thing is that he brings a star defense. I know a lot of people love the pizzazz of that word. It's really just an extra nickel on the field. And that, they pretty much feel like they have four guys that can take on that position. Personally, you know, it's exciting to see Savage take on that position because he did so much of that in his last 2 years at Maryland. But again, you've got Jair Alexander being himself. You've got Adrian Amos and Savage growing together. There's a lot of interesting things to come out of rotating these D-backs.
So, again, this is a division that is theirs for the taking. It's been that way for a number of years. They don't get really a lot of challenge, even when we thought Minnesota would be good. It's just been Green Bay's division. And it does lead to a larger question. And I know that there is this rift between Aaron Rodgers and the organization. But it seems like if Aaron Rodgers wants that second Super Bowl, he's in the right place to do it.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way because of the fact that the chemistry is already here. You know, only so many quarterbacks I can imagine can interpersonally have the type of capability to just plop themselves in a new place. You know, Tom Brady got away with that because everybody saw that the only thing the Bucs were missing were a quarterback. But how many other teams are this perfectly poised and have the chemistry going to be able to imitate all of that over again in a new year, new schedule, new everything? It's just such a rare occurrence that this truly does seem like the best situation for him to get it done. And listen, they've listened to him on some things. He wants to be in the conversation. They brought Cobb back. Like, what more could you want?
Yeah, and that's again, to try to put a little bit more into perspective, I wonder how much of this is, and you might know a lot better than me, of Aaron Rodgers saying, look, I'm sort of threatening here because I want this relationship to be better. And the only way it's better is if I do something drastic to make them change. Or does he really want to leave and go build something else somewhere else in the latter part of his career?
It's very interesting because, you know, like we said, there's been a lot of national conversation. But at the end of the day, I think people need to remember that this summer, we don't truly know what went on in Aaron's mind other than what he was willing to share. And obviously, you know, I'm sure that comes with a bit of rehearsal and veiled moments as well. At the end of the day, all we know what happened this summer is time passed and Aaron Rodgers eventually came to camp and he missed out on other things. So Rodgers says, you know, his relationship with Gutekunst is professional, quote unquote. He says that all he wants is to be in the conversation, and he knows that what he thinks isn't always going to be the final decision, but he really wants to be in the conversation. So that, you know, illuminates a little bit to show you that he really hasn't felt like he's even been involved in these conversations. So, you know, they moved around some money for guys to make stuff happen. Obviously bringing Cobb back when there's no way he was heading back to this organization in the first place. There's little other things, you know, thankfully he admitted that he was joking with the guys last week about bringing Clay Matthews back in the front office. Didn't have any serious conversations about that, but it's a really interesting power dynamic to just watch it all play out. And probably once a week at practice, you see a 5-minute conversation between Gutekunst and Rodgers, and you can only wonder what's going on.
Right. Good point. Rachel, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Hope we get you on again as soon as the season progresses. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
You got it. Rachel Hoppmeyer of NBC 26 on the Packers. And very some, again, I know, look, we could break down defensive schemes and offensive players, bringing Randall Cobb back, Davante Adams, and all of that. But, you know, it's just any talk about the Packers is always, always, always going to center on Aaron Rodgers and his relationship with the organization. And she's right, because we talk about with Tom Brady. Brady was released, and so he had an opportunity to have the freedom to go somewhere wherever he wanted and look at this, look, to say, I'm done, and now where can I go? And it was, you know, like, some teams don't need a quarterback, some teams do. Of those who do, which will be the best fits for me to get what I want out of this being 43 years old, right? Rodgers is it may not be in that same boat. Rodgers, if he decides, all right, I'm out, I don't want to be here anymore, they're just going to trade him. And if they trade him, where would they trade him to? And does Rodgers at 38 years old want to spend 3 years while the team goes, well, we're going to revamp our defense to match your offense, and it may take us a while to bring in some players, and then maybe, just maybe, we'll make the playoffs? Or does he go, you know what, I've only got a couple years left in this league, and all of these things that I'm mad about or angry about or I want more of this, still, the underlying goal of all of what I do, of why I get up in the morning, is to win a Super Bowl. And the best place, even though it may not be the best relationship that a quarterback in an organization has ever had, if I want that second ring, if I want that second Super Bowl, and sort of separate myself from other one Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, the best place to do it is here. The division is laying down for us, right? The NFC, for the most part, we are better than, when I'm playing, we are better than almost every team, if not every team, in the conference. And we were a home game away from going to the Super Bowl. So, and again, she's right, back-to-back NFC championship games, losing to San Francisco the year prior. To go somewhere else like Denver, and even though they're having a good defense, to be like, going up against Patrick Mahomes and a Justin Herbert that's rising up, with and hoping that your organization puts enough talent around you so you can shine, I think the best spot would be in Green Bay. Good stuff from Rachel Hoppmeyer. All right, we'll continue along. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.